Welcome to the Hedgemaker Broadcast. The prophet Ezekiel prophesied to the nation of Israel many long years ago, "Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord." He also said that the Lord sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Hedgemaker Baptist Ministries, located in beautiful Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, is attempting to stand in the gap and make up the hedge in these days of spiritual compromise and theological apostasy. Our biblical and historical Christian heritage challenges us to fill in the gaps left by those who have moved away from their biblical foundation. Listen now as we build up the wall and make up the hedge through sound preaching from God's holy word.
Anybody have Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 memorized? All right, let's open it up then. Isaiah 43 and verse number 18 and 19. Let's again say the reference before and after. We've been using this as a key verse for our study this week, New Things. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Now tonight our subject is the new heaven and the new earth. All of these new things have not been in the book of Isaiah. Some of them have, some of them have not. This one is. Let me share with you, you can turn if you want, Isaiah 65 and Isaiah 66. It's Isaiah 65 and verse number 17. We give you a little bit of a overview of Isaiah when we did that on Sunday morning. The last six, probably seven chapters, begins in chapter 60 through 66. Really deals with the blessings of the millennium. So these two chapters, 65 and 66, are in that area of talking about the blessings of the millennial. And he's talking about the new heaven. Verse number 17 of Isaiah 65, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." And then in chapter 66 and verse number 22, it says, "For as the heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." So Isaiah is prophesying about the new heaven and the new earth. We discover the new heaven and the new earth in the book of Revelation. This is where we'll spend the bulk of our time tonight. Revelation 21. Chapter 21, 22, talk about the new heaven and the earth. The first verse of chapter 21 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." John, of course, is writing this revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every time there's a transition, he uses that phrase, "and I saw." So it's the visions that God gave to John about future events. I believe, not everybody agrees, I believe the book of Revelation is written in chronological order. If that is the case, then we find that the creation of the new heaven and the new earth will take place following the great white throne judgment, which is presented to us in chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Let me give you a rundown of seven future events. Okay, we're not going to talk about this. This is all part of the introduction. All right, here's the order. Number one is the rapture of the church. We don't know when that takes place. We call it imminent. Could happen at any moment. The catching away of the bride of Christ. Paul explains it for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. That's the first event. Probably immediately following the rapture is what we call the judgment seat of Christ. That's presented in the Corinthians and other places. This is a judgment for believers. The judgment seat of Christ, where our works are going to be judged. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Remember that from 1 Corinthians? It is not a determination of your salvation. It's for those who have been saved, because only saved people get caught up in the rapture. The rest of the world is left behind. So the rapture takes place first. Number two, the judgment seat of Christ, probably immediately thereafter. And then, number three, the seven-year tribulation. Now, the seven-year tribulation has a lot of events in it. It is covered in the book of Revelation from chapter 6 through 18. All of the plagues, all of the vials, all of the trumpet judgments that come are all part of the Great Tribulation. And again, I think in chronological order, the middle of the tribulation comes in about Revelation chapter 12. But anyway, the seven-year tribulation. Number four is the second coming of Christ, when Christ actually comes back, not in the clouds, but to the earth itself. And that is Revelation chapter number 19. And then, I didn't put it in my list of seven things. You have the marriage supper of the Lamb. That takes place after the coming of Christ. And then number five would be the millennium. It is spoken of, I should have looked at this earlier here, in chapter 20, I believe it is, with the 1,000 years that are mentioned. Yes, chapter 20, verse 4, 5, and 6, verse 7 says, when the 1,000 years are expired. Now, the word millennium is not found in our Bibles, but the 1,000 years is, and the millennium is a Latin word for 1,000. And then there is the great white throne judgment, chapter 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. The great white throne judgment is for everyone except the believers. And this does not determine whether you're saved or not, but you'll be judged whether your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life or not. And then comes the new heaven and new earth, chapter 21, and I saw. So I believe every time that John says, and I saw, it is in a chronological order. Not everybody agrees with that. I'm not sure how your pastor feels about that. Didn't really talk to him about that. But the great white throne judgment will weed out the unbelievers. Okay, you can read those couple of verses, chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, and you will find that the dead will be judged, the small and the great. When you read Matthew 24 and chapter 25 of Matthew, he talks about the goats and the sheep. And one are put on his left, one are put on his right, and they are judged because of what they've done with Jesus. Consequently, only saved folks, those who have their names written in the Book of Life, chapter 20, verse number 15, it says, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. On Monday night, we talked about the new name. You ought to have a new name. If you're born again, you ought to have a new name. If you don't have that new name, you need to get born again. Only believers will go into the new heaven and the new earth. The rest, as it says there in verse number 15, will be cast into the lake of fire. So they will not experience the new heaven and the new earth. So we note that the creation of the new heaven and the new earth is following the millennial reign. There's 1,000 years in which you and I, who know the Lord as Savior, will come back to the earth after the rapture and rule and reign with Him. And that we will do for 1,000 years. When we're talking about the new heaven and the new earth here in chapters 21 and 22, we commonly refer to them as the eternal state. And I don't understand all that is going to happen with this. But I believe God is going to destroy the first heaven and the first earth. Now, what I want to do tonight is go back here to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, where John sees in a vision the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven And the first earth were passed away. And we just read about that, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We're talking about new things this week. And so as I look at this, the first eight verses of this chapter, we find three more new things. The first new thing is the new city. We'll look at some things that are involved with all of this. We're not going to exhaust all of the thoughts that are found in these verses. But this is described for us here in these initial verses, and then further described for us when we go to chapter 21, verse 11, through chapter 22, and verse number 5. And I'm not going to take the time to read all of that, but there's much more that could be presented tonight regarding the new heaven and the new earth. So a further description later in the chapters. But in verse number 2, John saw the holy city. This new city is a pure city. It is a pure city. It's called a holy city. Now what I want you to think about tonight, by way of practical application, is we don't have to wait until we see the new heaven and the new earth for heaven and earth, the new heaven and new earth, to be with us. All right? Jesus taught us to pray. Pray this way. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think I preached about that the last time, or one of the last times I was here. But that's what God wants. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to be holy. We don't have to wait to heaven to be pure. We can be pure and holy now. The city that God is going to bring down out of heaven, when he creates the new heaven and the new earth, will be a pure city. It will also be a new city. Look at the verse again. He said, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. It will be called New Jerusalem. Now, God purposely chose Jerusalem as the center, the focal point of the geographic, whatever you want to call it, of Israel. When God called Abram, before he was Abraham, out of Ur of the Chaldees, let's see, for you, I ought to go this direction, Ur of the Chaldees over here. He went up over the Fertile Crescent and down into what we know today as Palestine, and or the nation of Israel, and eventually Jerusalem, under David's reign, became the capital city. I think our former president was right in making Jerusalem that, he didn't make it the capital, but moving our embassy there, because of what the Bible says about it. But when God creates the new heaven and the new earth, Jerusalem will still be the focal point. And geographically, when the Bible talks about north, south, east, and west, it is in relation to the city of Jerusalem. North of Jerusalem, south, east, west of Jerusalem. Those are the directions given in the Bible. And strategically located. Did you ever see how small the country of Israel was? Very small country compared to much of the rest of the world. But that land mass is strategically located between three continents. And in the old days, before they had airplanes, in order to get from one continent to the other, Africa, Asia, and Europe, you had to go through Israel. You had to go through God's land. It is purposely, and all of the battles that you read about, not only in the book of Revelation, but they are alluded to in the Old Testament prophecies as well, are focal point in that geographic area of Israel. Strategically located, God purposely chose that place to put his name there, the Bible says. We also discover that this new Jerusalem, this one that comes down from God out of heaven, is divine and a heavenly city. Again, look at the verse, verse number 2. It says, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. So it's coming down. So it's from heaven to earth, coming down from God out of heaven. So it's a divine or a heavenly city. And then it's also a prepared city. He says in the last part of verse number 2, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now you have to take yourself back to Eastern culture here. Okay, when the bride prepares herself, she does this for many days, many weeks in fact. And the Lord said to his disciples, I am going away, John 14, but I will come again. He's the groom, we are the bride. He said, I'm going to go away and do what? Prepare a place for you. That's heaven. What are we supposed to be doing as we are waiting for the groom to come back for the bride? Preparing for the wedding. We're to present ourselves, as the New Testament writer said, as a chaste virgin, as a clean, pure bride of Christ. We are to be preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the city is a prepared city. How many years has Jesus been gone? And he's still preparing that city? It's not ready yet. It takes a long time. A beautiful place. And you can read the rest of chapter 21 of Revelation and on into chapter 22 and discover how beautiful that prepared city is. So that's the first thing we find, a new city. Another new thing we find is new blessings. In this city, there will be some additional blessings. Let's read on, verse number 3, Revelation 21:3. And I heard a number of times throughout the book of Revelation, not only will John see, but he will hear different things. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. The tabernacle of God is the dwelling place of God. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The blessing here is the presence of God himself, God's presence. We don't have that now, except in the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, of course, came to dwell amongst men, live with men some 30, 33, 34 years, and then he went to heaven. When he left, he told his disciples, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter, which, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit was given to dwell amongst men, and we have God's presence via the person of the Holy Spirit. But when we get to heaven, it will be God himself. So the first emphasis of heaven is the presence of God. God is what makes heaven what it is. Although there will be streets of gold, gates of pearl, a sea of crystal, a throne of sapphire, the greatest thing about heaven will be God himself. God himself will be there. So the presence of God, that's verse number 3. Another blessing is the absence of sorrow, verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So a second emphasis of heaven is the absence of sorrow. Once again, this emphasis is not upon the gold or the pearl or the costly array. The absence of sorrow will be a great blessing. This present earth groans in sorrow. I won't take you back there, but Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. Look at the things that we'll be missing from heaven. No tears. The tears are wiped away. No death. Death is no longer present because sin has been destroyed. It's the wages of sin that is death, and since there's no sin in heaven, there is no death in heaven. No sorrow. Sorrow has been eliminated because there is no sin to create the sorrow. There's no crying. Tears are similar to the crying. And no pain. Pain is also the result of sin. And since sin is gone, there is no more pain. Former things, he says, shall be passed away. And God will make all things new. Again, we're talking about new things this week. So this reminds me of the Christian's new birth. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we talked about Sunday afternoon. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We ought to have new things going on all the time. Not to wait till we get to heaven. We're new creatures in Christ. There's something else let me point out. It's just kind of in a matter of review. Verse number, let's skip down to, well, let's read verses 5, 6, and 7. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega. That takes you back to chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. Alpha and Omega, that's the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. And so he's the beginning and the end, and everything in between, by the way. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh, verse number 7, shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Let's quickly go through the messages to the seven churches back in chapters 2 and 3. And just look at the blessings that will come to the overcomers. So there's seven churches, seven different lists of overcomers. Okay, so the first church is in chapter 2 and verses 1 through 7. The first blessing, the tree of life. In chapter 2 and verse number 11, the second message to the second church, which is the church at Smyrna, he that overcometh shall not hurt of the second death. So no second death. The third overcomer is found in chapter 2, verse number 17. We have the hidden man of the white stone and the new name. The fourth church, chapter 2, and the fourth overcomer, Revelation 2:26. Then we go to chapter 3 and get to the fifth church, the church at Sardis, and verse number 5. This blessing is the blessing of being clothed in righteousness. And then number 6, verse number 3:12. Here we have the concept of being a pillar of the temple. And then verse 21, the last message to the overcomer, to sit on the throne with him. What a privilege that will be. The bliss of the new heaven and the new earth is reflected in two key words, and they are joy and peace. Joy is found in Isaiah 65:18. It says, But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. It's in that same context of the verse that we read. I forget which verse it was there in chapter 65 about God creating the new heaven and the new earth. But it's going to be a place of joy. Do we lack some joy here in earth? Yeah. In heaven, it'll be eternal joy. And then that joy, of course, shall be with contentment and youthfulness and so forth and so on. And the other word is peace. Isaiah 66 and verse 12, For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Again, that's in the context of the second verse I gave you in the beginning of the message in Isaiah 66, where God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Peace like a river. We sing that little chorus. I've got peace like a river, etc., etc. Peace, flowing like a river. And so peace and joy. And then let me give you one more thing back here in the text of Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation 21, we have the new city, we have the new blessings, but we also have a new separation. Again, I'm not going to go into this in great detail. There is much that we could talk about here. But Revelation 21, and verse number 8. Revelation 21 and verse number 8. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Here we find a new separation. There is a list of several things that will be missing from heaven in this verse. So we who will be there will be separated from all of those things. Now, separation is a biblical doctrine. The Christian is to live his life separated from certain things. The Bible teaches us that. There are many, many places throughout Old and New Testament that teach us those things. We need to be separated from certain things and from certain people. The Bible makes that pretty plain, I think. However, we live in a world that is full of ungodly things. While living in this world, there cannot be complete or absolute separation from evil. You don't even have to walk outside this door. It's right here inside the building. Because what does God say about your heart? The heart is wicked and deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What you need is a new heart. Now that comes in Christ, right? But we still have that old nature. So we still have that wicked, sinful heart, even as a believer. We live with it every day. But you go out into this world and you find all sorts of other wicked things, evil things. It's, unless you're going to be, and even if you are going to be, what do you call that person that goes out and lives by himself? A hermit, right? Okay? Even if you do that, you still have your own wicked heart to deal with, right? So you're not going to get away from it until we get to heaven. Amen. And then there will be no evil. Amen. No sin. But while we're living in this world, we need to live in this world and be separate from all of that wickedness. In heaven, there will be no evil. So I believe verse 8 gives us a list of some things and some people that will not be in heaven. And everything in the list is a form of evil. There will be complete absolute separation from evil in heaven. Hence, there will be a new separation, unlike the separation that we must endeavor to maintain while here on earth. All right, so what about the conclusion? We're all excited about going to heaven, about the new heaven and the new earth. All of those things we talked about, and there's many more, because there's more things we could find in the rest of chapter 1 and on into chapter 22. They will be exciting days. But we do not have to wait for the new heaven and the new earth to be created in order to experience the excitement of the new heaven and the new earth. We can experience the essence of that new city here on earth, as Jesus taught us to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can experience the blessings of God's presence right here and now, and then through the person of the Holy Spirit. And as we get into His Word, and the practice of the new separation, we can practice that now. We can be, as, I don't know if it's a Bible verse or not, but it's a phrase we use all the time, we can be in the world, but not of the world. Okay, so we can be in this evil world, but not of the evil world. So we can practice all of that now. It's something new. God wants to create new things in our lives.
This is Dr. Lee Hennise, and we want to thank you for listening to the Hedgemaker broadcast today. Most of our broadcasts are portions of a sermon that I have preached to church. Hedgemaker Baptist Ministries is the preaching, teaching, and writing ministry for myself. You can visit us on the web at hedgemaker.org. And let's be encouraged to stand in the gap and make up the hedge until Jesus comes again.